I thought it would be kind of fun maybe to take a look at what Vincent van Gogh thought that this scene would look like. And so you see here that the Samaritan is placing the man who's been beaten on his donkey. You can see a figure of somebody down below here. There must be one of the folks who's walking away without noticing. But, you know, when you read these scripture stories, I think it's important to picture it in some way in your mind's eye so that you can truly experience it and you can see it. And so I thought it'd just be kind of interesting to take a look at this. Show us the next slide. So here's some other depictions of what it would look like. And see in the top left-hand corner there, I mean, there's some trees. They're in the shade of a tree there. And the one next to it, you got kind of a close-up, a more intimate shot. Obviously, the Samaritan is speaking low and very closely to the injured guy. And then in the next one, we've got a camel. The guy's lying there, and it looks to me like the Samaritan is just looking at him as we're trying to figure out what to do. We got the lower left here. You can see there are two people that are heading away. They aren't very far off, while the Samaritan is offering the guy something to drink. Then in the next one, you got the guy bandaging the wounds. In the middle one on the right side, there's treating a wound there. And the bottom corner, I don't know if that's Central Park or where that is, but that's I thought that was an interesting, maybe a more modern day depiction there of somebody that's there doing that. But I want in some way for the story to become real to you. Now this is Luke that is telling this parable, and so when Luke, you know, was a physician, and whatever that meant, he knew when somebody was hurt, right? And so he's reciting this story that Jesus told, I'm sure probably on more than one occasion, but on one specific occasion that we're going to read about. But Luke, the physician, is talking about the man being half dead, okay? I mean, so make that connection. All right, go to the next. Yeah, here we are. So let's just read this through. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? That's a good question. Well, I mean, we want to know the answer to that. And so, what is written in the law? Jesus replied. How do you read it? Now remember, this guy, we were told at the beginning that this guy is an expert in the law. So he should know the answer to this. What's written in the law? How do you read that? And the man answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so we've got the Shema, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then Jesus has added to that, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. All right? That's pretty straightforward. Do this, and you will live. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor. Do this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus. Now, you know, this is one of those things that we're pretty good at. The guy down the street, he's a real sinner. I mean, those sins that he's committing every day, those are big-time sins. Yeah, I'm a sinner, but they're all pretty little. They're all pretty little. And so you know, that's the kind of thing that's going on here. And so he wants to get this whittled down a little bit. You know, I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Let's see if we can define this in such a way that I can live with this. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answers that by telling the guy a story. And so that's the significance of this story, is it's an answer to the question, who is my neighbor? A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it is down, we're going to talk about that, when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Then a Levite when he came to the place and saw him passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii. A denarii is a day's pay, so this is 2 days' pay, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Okay, so the story ends there. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Okay, so Jesus is asking the man, which one was the neighbor? So the guy was saying, who is my neighbor, was the question. And Jesus' answer is, in essence, be a neighbor. Okay? Be a neighbor. And so you're left there, and the expert in law replied, the one who had mercy on him, and Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Have mercy on others. All right? So think about that. I want you to think about that. Where the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Jerusalem lies on a high plain, and it's about 2,500 feet above sea level. Jericho is down by the Dead Sea. It's a 18-20 mile walk from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and the elevation goes from 2,500 to 840 below sea level. So you got about 3,300 feet that you're going down, and be thankful you're going down, because if you're going up, you got to climb up 3,300 feet to get up to Jerusalem. So this was always, oh, hang on, start this again. Or just go back. Let me finish my thought here before we get to this. Easier said than done. Here we go. So traveling down here, this was a dangerous place. Jericho is the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. So it's been there for a long time. And it's different from the land around it because there's a spring. And since Elisha's time, it's been known as Elisha's Spring. And so it's an oasis in the desert. And so that's Jericho, and so it's down here at 830 feet, 840 feet below sea level. The Dead Sea is down there, and it's always been a dangerous place because of the narrow path to get down there, and because of the way the climate changes. Jerusalem gets 20 plus inches of rain a year. Jericho gets 8 inches of rain a year. So if it wasn't for the spring, it would be desert. And so as you go down that walk, you'll get down to a point where they get about 16 or 15 inches of rain a year, and there's no trees beyond that point. And so there's just small shrubs and stuff. And then the further you get down, the closer you get to Jericho, and you get down there, all there is a kind of desert kind of plants. That you might see that are down there. And so the terrain is changing all the way down there. The climate is changing. Everything is changing because it's such a drastic drop, this 3,300 feet. You know, if you can imagine walking out and looking up 3,300 feet, I mean, you know, we're talking a considerable change in altitude. It was always a dangerous place. It was called the Ascent of red, and some argue that was because of the red terrain. Others argue because it was the blood that was shed, because there were always bandits and robber gangs that would prey on people that were making this trek. Okay, now we're going to see this video. This is about a 30-second video. These are some students from Notre Dame, who went with a priest on kind of a Bible study and took this walk. So, you know, in your mind's eye, I don't know what you're picturing this walk to look like from Jerusalem down to Jericho, but we're down below where all the trees are dead. There are no trees, and you can see what that looks like. And you can also see that if you were going to walk by on the other side, you didn't have much place to walk. I mean, you might have had to step over the guy. As they're traveling down there, because you can see it's just really narrow terrain. But this give you a picture of what this looks like, and I think it's important to have that in your head to be thinking about what it is that we're doing and what kind of a story. And when Jesus says a man was traveling down this road, they knew that this was going to be an adventure story of some kind, because that was a dangerous place. You wouldn't make that trip if you didn't live in Jericho. You just wouldn't do this. And you certainly wouldn't do it by yourself. So we've got this guy traveling, and he's doing this and making this trek. Well, go on to the next slide there. Okay, so I got a couple maps here that I want you to take a look. And so if you can kind of envision starting off here at Jerusalem, you head up a little bit to the Mount of Olives, and then you head back down through Bethany. You know, Mary, Martha, Lazarus lived in Bethany. And then you head on down, and you keep heading down, and somewhere, if you can see this kind of an elbow that comes about halfway down there, ancient Christian historians say that there was a castle looking building that was an inn that was built there. When the Romans came and took over this territory, they knew it was a bad place, and they set up sentry posts along the way for the protection of people that were traveling. But we're talking about 30 years after Jesus, when those kinds of things were built. But historians believe that there was an inn that was there at that place for the purpose of helping out people that were traveling down there. And so that's very likely the place where the man was taken to the inn. Go to the next map. Want you to think a little bit about the Samaritan. The Samaritan was from Samaria. And you see that, green territory that's in there. These were folks who had been Jewish at one time, but because of the people ruling the country who worshipped other gods, they got kind of everything kind of fit in somehow, and so they started worshiping more gods than our God, and so they had that area there, and most people who were traveling from Jerusalem down here in Judea to go up to Galilee would cross the Jordan and go off in this area called the Decapolis. And, Jesus was over there too. We had the demoniac, Gadara is on the map there. The demoniac was healed there at Gadara. So Jesus did travel over there, but usually Jesus just traveled north and south, because he didn't have any problem. And we've got the story of the woman at the well that he met at the well in Sychar there, just below where it says Samaria. And so we know that Jesus traveled north and south through there and didn't have any trouble. But most Jewish people would just go around there because they wouldn't have anything to do with those Samaritans. They were the enemy. They were political enemies. They were religious enemies. And, you know, they were worshiping false gods. And so you just kind of steered clear of that. And so when we get to the part in the story when Jesus says, and this guy was from Samaria, you're thinking, I'd rather die than have this guy help me. I don't know what this is going to mean. Or you're thinking, well, he's probably going to stop and see if there's anything left to steal, you know, when he's coming by. And so you have to kind of get that idea about there being a Samaritan. Now Jesus in the parable does not call him the Good Samaritan. You know, take note of that. That's something that we've added later. And the reason that gets added later is because the listeners of the story knew that that was an oxymoron. It's like military intelligence. These things don't go together. Good and Samaritan don't fit. This is an oxymoron. And so that's kind of the way they would tell the story then. This is a story about the Good Samaritan. there are no good Samaritans. So maybe it's like being a USC fan, you know? I mean, is there a good one? Could there possibly be? No. Just for fun. Okay, let's go to the next map. It's just a little bit more spelled out here. Give you some idea. This is I'm on a tangent here. I'm off Mount Nebo. Mount Nebo is where Moses stood. God said, I can't let you go into the promised land, but I'll let you look. And so they looked from Mount Nebo across into the promised land. You can see Jericho at the top of the Dead Sea there. You can go up there. You see the Jabbok River. The Jabbok River is where Jacob wrestled an angel for a blessing there on the Jabbok River. And you go on up to the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum, which is where Andrew, Peter, James, and John were fishermen and lived up there. And you can see Nazareth up there where Jesus lived most of his life. So you can see some of the cities there. Just kind of wanted to kind of connect all of that stuff for you. Okay. Go on. So it's important if you're going to picture this to put yourself in the place of one of the persons in the story, or maybe to think through in all of those cases what it would be like, and it might be helpful to think about the story in a different way. I mean, so suppose it was women, okay, and so you've got a pastor, well, Reverend Sue comes along first and walks by on the other side. And then the president of the United Methodist Women comes along, and she walks by on the other side. Okay, so you've got this woman that's lying there sick on the side of the road, and nobody comes along and watches. And then this Muslim woman comes along, takes off her burqa, and wraps it around the woman. So you've got to think of these images in some different kind of way, because we've talked about the Good Samaritan so long that we've lost the power of the story. And so you've got to make some connections in some other ways. And so you've got to think about, okay, would I put a Muslim in here somewhere? Would I put a gay person in this story somewhere? How does that story change then for me if I'm thinking about this, and how am I going to deal with this? Samaritans were the enemy. They were Iranians, Russians, North Korean dictators. I know whatever conjures up enemy in your mind, then you got to be thinking about, you know, good North Korean dictator. You know, I think, huh? Okay, so let's do that. Let's do that. Go on to the next one. All right. So here's just, we got kind of another depiction there. You can see the old pastor there with the umbrella, who's heading up there, and this is the lay leader of the church who's on behind him. And then we've got the person who actually stopped in this case, looks like he's going to wipe away the tears of the poor person that's injured. Go on. So, put yourself in the place of the traveler. Think about what that's like. You're making this trek. You've been up to Jerusalem. Every Jewish person was supposed to make the trip to Jerusalem three times a year for the three biggest feast days. And so on those three biggest feast days, there would be several hundred thousand people traveling from around the area to come to be in Jerusalem on that day. So several hundred thousand people. And so you've got some folks who are making this journey. And on the way back, you know, there's obviously some danger there, and you know it, and so you're trying to be careful, and you're just trying to make your way and watching around, and lo and behold, these folks come out, and you know you're in trouble. And it's not enough that you get robbed, but you get stripped. And you get beat up badly. And so, if you've ever been seriously wronged in some way, you kind of come to grips with that kind of a feeling if you're going to put yourself in the place of the traveler. Now, the clergy person. Now, in the story, the priests were all people who were from the tribe of Aaron. Okay, those were the priestly folks. And you had the high priest and the high priest's staff that lived and stayed in Jerusalem year-round, but then you had descendants of Aaron who would come and take monthly turns working at the temple, helping with the animal sacrifices. You know, so they would come, and so they would be traveling up there, and so you're on your way home from your monthly stint at the temple, and you come across somebody who's bleeding. So your defense is, if I stop and help this person that's bleeding, I'm going to be unclean. And if I'm unclean, the only way I can get ritually clean again is to head back up the hill and go back to the temple. Somebody else will be along. But that's my excuse. I could have, maybe I should have, but I didn't because I really don't want to climb that hill. And so then the Levite comes along. The Levite is a descendant of Levi and would be somebody who would be assisting the priest in the temple. You kind of doing the grunt work at the temple while the priest did all of the, I don't know if you'd call sacrificing animals fun stuff, but you know, so the Levites are helping, and so you got somewhat the same kind of issue. You're headed home from your stint at the temple duty, and you're headed down there, and you know if you stop and you get some blood on you from this person, you're going to have to head back up the hill. And so you can meet with the high priest up there and you'll be ceremonial cleansed from what you've done. So somebody else will do it. You know, I mean, we'll let Bob do this. And so you head on. So you've got the clergy person, you've got the faith leader, and then Jesus says, and then a Samaritan came along. And people are thinking, this can't be good. But it is. It is. And if you can come to grips with that, then you can come to grips with some of the part of the story in the fact that, whoa, this is the person. This is the reason why this poor traveler is still alive. Because this Samaritan came along. Okay, so you really have to kind of get into it. You got to get past the warm and fuzzy idea that we've had about the story to begin with and get into what's going on and head on to the next slide here. Now, of course, Jesus wants us to associate ourselves with the traveler. You know, when Jesus is telling the story, that's who he's thinking. Okay, put yourself in the place. This is the man. This is the woman. This is the person who's traveling on the road from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And who would you hope would come along? Yeah, yeah, EMS. Yeah, I mean, you know, I suppose today somebody'd come along with their cell phone, hit 911. And you'd be on the way. So, you know, was the victim praying? Lord, I don't want to die here. You saw what that terrain looked like. They're out in the sun. It's a bad situation. And so, who would you hope would come along in that situation? Go to the next slide. So when Jesus said, go and do likewise, he's saying, be the person that others are hoping for and are praying will come along. That's who you want to be. When you think about neighbor, it's your task to be the neighbor. To be the neighbor. You're not trying to figure out who I'm going to be the neighbor to. No, that's not my job, is to figure out who is my neighbor. No, my job is to be the neighbor. this is another one of those stories. It's really kind of simple, you know? I mean, we're trying to make it difficult. The guy was trying to make it difficult. Well, who's my neighbor? You know, I want to make this harder. No, it's not that hard. No, the job is for you to love God and to love your neighbor. How about that? That's not so hard. Okay, move on. So here's your takeaway for today. It's not about where you come from or what you are called. It is about how you choose to live, whether you choose to be a disciple or not. You know, I mean, we've got that choice. We've got free will. I mean, there is no love without free will. If I was forced in some way to love Barb, is that love? I mean, that's not love. I choose to love Barb, and I'm thankful that she chooses to love me. But that goes hand in hand with free will, is loving. You know, now I can choose to be the person I should be instead of being made to be the person I should be. Love the Lord your God with all you've got. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That is the key to living. Remember, that was the first question to be answered. What must I do to inherit eternal life? So this is the key to living, whether it's eternal life you're looking for or any kind of life at all.